This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, a special edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour, Economic Forecast 2018. Sponsored by Plant Moran, a special roundtable discussion. Live from Plant Moran's downtown Chicago office, here's WBBM's Chris Kreidel and Cisco Cotto.
WBBM News Time 12:05. It is certainly great to have you with us for this special edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto, and that's Chris Kreidel.
I am Chris Kreidel. we're downtown at the Plant Moran lobby. Beautiful here, and that ties right into the weather. It's sunny but chilly today. A high of 47 right now, 44 degrees at O'Hare and the lakefront.
Let's kick things off with an update of the markets live at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, an improving picture here. We now are in the green across the board. The Dow up 14 points. So once again, on track for another record. It's at 23,571. The NASDAQ has moved from losses approaching a third of a percent. Now it's in the green by a quarter percent or 16 points. S&P adding 3. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index lower by a tenth of a percent. Some analysts are treating yesterday's elections like a referendum on tax reform. They see Republicans more motivated to pass tax cuts before the 2018 election. They also, though, see Republicans scaling back corporate tax cuts. The oil market is falling from two-year highs after an unexpected increase in U.S. stockpiles. A sharp drop in exports contributed to the more than 2 million barrel jump last week. Traders were looking for inventories to fall by about that much, and so oil down 1% to $56.69 a barrel. Kind of a quiet day from the economic calendar perspective. Just one report to let you know about, and that one report is kind of quiet. The Mortgage Bankers Association says last week its index of mortgage demand barely budged lower after falling 2.6% the week before. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, the people who are going to be joining us today have been with us for a long time, and two of our very favorite guests. Let me introduce them. Susan Schmidt is Senior Portfolio Manager at Westwood in Dallas. Thanks for coming in today. And Bob Johnson is now an independent economist, former director of the Economic Analysis Morningstar, Inc. here in Chicago.
And great to have both of them with us here at Plant Moran. Lots of stuff that we're going to be getting into on today's Noon Business Hour with our guests. We're going to get some analysis on President Trump's first year. How has it gone economically? Also, the economic outlook for next year, both here domestically and overseas. Will tax reform actually get through Washington, D.C. as Congress works on it? And, of course, we'll get some insight into the financial markets, advice for investors, and analysis on the earnings news as we are just about at the end of this earnings season. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Have a question related to this special economic forecast 2018? Reach out on Twitter at WBBM News Radio or comment on the WBBM News Radio Facebook page. From Plant Moran's downtown Chicago office, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
And with Susan Schmidt and Bob Johnson, it has been a while. We have not talked about the major event that happened in November and its influence on the economy and the markets. President Trump. Of course, it's the Trump era. Let's talk a little bit about what this means. Bob?
Yeah, I think that the market has done exceptionally well after the election, and doing particularly well have been bank stocks that have benefited a great deal as interest rates have gone up and the potential for less regulation happens. And in general, it's been very positive for most parts of the market.
Which makes some people a little nervous that it keeps going up and up, and it are the fundamentals there, Susan?
Well, I think we're seeing from earnings reports that the fundamentals are there. And so companies are continuing to be run more efficiently. You know, CEOs and management teams really got the lesson during that recession that they have to turn it around. They've managed to hold on to those operating margins and push things through. And I would argue that it's the fundamentals that are really supporting the market and the fact that we have very few alternatives. And so that keeps the market going, I think, at these levels.
Alternatives to investing in the market?
Yes. So there's very little out there that's going to give you a return right now. While interest rates are going up, that's still...
You're not a fan of Bitcoin?
Imagine that. The interest rates still aren't at attractive levels. And in fact, we have a whole generation now of young adults who are moved into their earning years, not even knowing that there was a time when their savings actually earned them money. So it's a very different psychology, I think. And we don't see anything internationally either that seems very attractive right now.
So, Susan, do you see that going on for a long time? Because interest rates, it's not like they're going to spike up in short order. It's going to take a while for them to rise.
That's right. And it's important that it take them a while to rise because we want this to be a gradual increase. I think the Fed has acted very prudently in how they've handled this. And so I don't see this as being a big change. I think the market levels are telling you that, as you said, we're near the end of another earnings season, and companies are coming out by and large with really strong reports, showing good profitability, still showing good fundamental growth. And I think that's what's important here. And while we haven't seen economic data that has been off the charts amazing in our recovery, because it's been just slow and steady, it's allowed this recovery to go on for a lot longer than we've seen before.
Bob, last November we had President Trump elected. We saw markets rise. They continued rising, and even into this new year, they've continued to rise. Do you think there's anything fundamental going on that supports that rise, or is it kind of tentative?
Well, I think there's a lot of things. The interest rate situation and the very stable Fed that's out there right now has been a very big contributor to everybody's confidence that they're doing what they said they were going to do. So that has certainly been a help for the market this year. So it's not all about Trump. We've had relatively good hourly earnings growth for employees. We've seen decent growth in consumption. So there are some real economic fundamentals behind this as well. And lately, there's even more hope that we'll get to a tax plan that helps overall economy. And that's what's got the market most excited recently.
What do you think of the new Fed president? Do you think that the economy will continue as it has been with Janet Yellen?
I think that the whole Fed has been acting very much together, and he's been part of that. He's a bit of an unknown. He hasn't done a lot of speaking, written a lot of papers, so he's a little bit of an unknown. But it's highly likely that he will go along with the go slow, get interest rates normalized by maybe sometime in 2019. So I think that's what people are looking at, and I think he will provide some continuity, but he is a little bit of an unknown quantity.
And Susan, your thoughts, Jerome Powell.
Well, I do think that Jerome Powell is unknown. We haven't seen him in that Fed chairman role, but he has been on the Board of Governors, and so we've seen him. And as we've seen since Bernanke was chairman, this Board of Governors, there has been a voice given to every member. So they've been very public in speaking throughout. There has been a lot more outward interpretation of and from each individual of what's going on within those meetings, and we've been hearing from that. Powell himself has been a little bit more quiet, but at the same time, it's very much, I think, a consensus on their progress forward, and so he is the least disruptive move that you could have made on an appointment in terms of the market's perception, because he is, in that sense, a known quantity. He was already there. He's been part of the discussions. He's not some new influence they brought in.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour Economic Forecast Roundtable. It's not round, but it works.
We'll go with it.
Live from the downtown headquarters of Plant Moran. Much more to come.
We're taking your questions on today's special edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Tweet your comments at WBBM News Radio or write them on the WBBM News Radio Facebook page. Back to the downtown Chicago office of Plant Moran on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Let's talk a little more in depth about the changes that we may see in taxation in the United States. We can't really separate politics from this. If you look at yesterday's elections and the upset for Republicans, would that have an impact on what is going to be through with the tax?
I absolutely think it will. And the reason is that I think the Republicans feel before the 2018 election, they have to show some goods, and they certainly have not been terribly successful so far, and their efforts in health care have been somewhat embarrassing. And I think that maybe they'll try to make this health care program work. And I think that the program actually could gain some support amongst Democrats, too. So I think there's a good chance that something will happen here this time, and I think the stars are lining up that this will happen.
And what about the tax package?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be beneficial, and I think looking at the individuals, it brings the marginal tax rates down in every category except those making over $1 million, but there is a little bit of a trade-off. There's going to be fewer things that you can take off your taxes. The good news with that is we'll probably put some tax preparers out of business because I think less people will be able to itemize in the years ahead. I'm thinking something like 25% of the population itemizes their tax deductions right now versus taking a standard deduction. And I think that number could fall considerably into the mid-teens.
That's Bob Johnson, Susan Smith also joining us. Here's a question for both of you. We'll begin with Susan. This comes from our Facebook page. A listener wondering if you think that tax reform and it actually passing is already baked into the market.
I think we've seen varying degrees of that. So certainly when President Trump was first elected, there was a lot of euphoria in the market. And in fact, the administration was dropping every soundbite possible that was ear candy for the market, creating this great run. And we saw that right after the election up through the inauguration. And so we've gone ebbs and flows on whether the market has baked in this tax package or not. And I'll go back to earnings. I think really companies have surprised to the upside with earnings and earnings stability thus far this year. So it's been effectively a nice offset for us as we've become disillusioned. Will tax reform actually happen? And while that we've maybe backed off on that in sentiment, earnings support has come in. And so there's been a nice trade-off of that. I do think now, obviously last week we saw a lot of euphoria, great tax packages coming. And I think this week you're seeing a little bit of reticence in the market with a reminder of, oh, right, we have to get everyone in Congress to agree to this. That's right, there's the Senate and the House. It all comes together. We forget that in the market, and the market is very short-sighted. So as we have these discussions, I always say when you get something like this, the market is short-sighted. Prepare for some volatility around it. It's certainly possible. And I actually even think we're seeing that between last week and this week.
So you wouldn't recommend a trade at this point based on we're probably going to have a tax?
I never recommend short-term trades. It's just not how I think, and it's certainly not how we operate at Westwood. We're long-term investors. And I think that really with this, it's impossible. How do you figure out what the government's going to do tomorrow? It's impossible to predict Congress right now. And so I wouldn't trade around this. I trade with a long-term goal and a long-term plan on what you want to do and really go back. And now is the time to be company-specific. If you want to be company-specific, this is a good time to do it. Dig in. Do your research. Fundamentals are mattering more. We're seeing this regime change as we move away from monetary policy, which is just low interest rates. It helps every business out there. Now to fiscal, where that's really going to impact each company differently. So I'm a big believer in back to the fundamentals on company analysis right now.
Hey, Bob, to you, is tax reform baked into the market? Might we see a dip if something doesn't happen?
I don't think it's really baked in. I think we've seen with the health care reform what was happening, and I don't think anybody would assume anything is going to happen for sure. And I think that, yes, the market's been a little bit higher because of this in the last week or two, but I don't think that it's baked in there to a full degree yet. I think there could be more upside from that. But I share Susan's view, although I'm a little less looking at corporate earnings and instead looking at demographics. May provide some real opportunities and some losers in the economy as well. So I wouldn't be entirely wrapped up. There's a lot of things, you know, it's what the Fed does on their policies and what the tax policy turns out to be, what earnings are. There's a lot of different drivers here in the market, and demographics is certainly another one of those. So certainly look to individual companies, and I don't think the tax reform is the be-all and end-all driving the market here.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's take a look at the markets now.
At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
We have gains across the board. The Dow is higher by 12 points, NASDAQ up 12, S&P adding 2. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index still lower by about 0.2%. Target is closing a dozen stores, but not until after the holidays. We're not supposed to read too much into the announcement. Target says the closings are part of a natural process of refining its portfolio, closing a few low performers each year while expanding with hot new store locales where needed. Target says it will have opened 32 net new stores this year, creating 2,000 jobs. Let's get a check of the grain markets with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had mixed prices here today. Corn's been up 1.25 to down 2, or up 3/4 at 348.5. Beans have been down 1 to up 2.75. November's up 3/4 at 986.75. And wheat's been down 7.5 to up 1/4. They're down 1.5 at 425.75. Mixed trade ahead of USDA's report tomorrow at 11 a.m. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Economic Forecast 2018, sponsored by Plant Moran. Back to our roundtable discussion live from the downtown Chicago office of Plant Moran as this special edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets have been slightly gaining ground today. A discussion of Wall Street just ahead.
International markets are dealing with several areas of concern. A discussion on the global economy is coming up.
Demand for mortgages was stagnant last week following a drop in the previous period.
Former President Obama appears for jury duty in downtown Chicago, but he's dismissed by a judge.
On Wall Street, the Dow up 16. Big surprise, right?
Imagine.
The NASDAQ is up 12. The S&P up 2 points.
Sunny, chilly today, high temperature of 47, overnight low of 34, and 42 for a high tomorrow with some sunshine. Right now it's 44 degrees.
We're broadcasting the show live from the downtown headquarters of Plant Moran. Cisco Cotto and Chris Kreidel with you, and we're glad to be joined by Susan Schmidt, Senior Portfolio Manager at Westwood in Dallas, and Bob Johnson, an independent economist, former Director of Economic Analysis at Morningstar here in Chicago.
Susan, is there anything you'd recommend to investors right now?
Well, I'll backtrack here. Bob had mentioned these earlier, but banks. I think banks are one of the areas and companies that can really benefit should we see anything happen and in the government, because they stand to be the recipient of a lot of good things if anything around the tax package or regulation takes place. So I do like financials right now. I'm keen on that as a sector. When you think about it, and you think about, now these are small regional banks, we're talking a lot about easing that regulatory burden on them, which would allow them to go back and focus on their business and also control their costs. At the same time, if you talk about any tax break, really the tax discussion right now has been geared towards corporations and less so on the individual. Those corporations are banks' customers. So if they feel better about the world and the economy and their potential, they're going to be investing more. They need more loans. It's more business for the banks. So again, and then banks, mostly domestic, if the tax rate's lower, they're the ones to benefit from it the most because they're paying that domestic highest rate tax. So all those things contribute. I do like financials. I particularly like small regional banks.
What about the sector that you might be avoiding right now?
I think one of the areas that has cause for concern until we get more clarity, and we may not see clarity for a while, but certainly anyone who is subject to insurance tax, where a lot of insurers have a dual structure, and that insurance structure allows you to be offshore for part of your business. And we don't know what's going to happen on the tax rate for American companies that are based partially offshore. So those tax rates could actually go up. I'd say be cautious in that area because we don't really have any clarity there on what's going to happen.
Bob, your thoughts on 2018 advice for investors?
Yeah, I again think that equities are probably a decent place to be right now. I'm not big on the bond market. There's been a lot of funds flow into bond funds as people have seen short-term rates come up, and they've kind of flocked back to some of the conventional products that they have. But I think that more of the opportunity is going to be in equities. And I think I'd focus on different and again, there was a window where you could do very well investing internationally versus the U.S. At the beginning of the year, but the international stocks have had quite a run, in emerging markets especially. I think there's now probably some more opportunities here in the U.S. because we have the potential for tax reform here. On the consumption side of the U.S. economy, the Social Security cost of living increase, there'll be one this year, and it will be more significant than it's been in some time. So that's certainly going to help the economy along as well. And we've certainly got consumer earnings going up because there's such a shortage of workers that wages continue to move up at a pretty brisk pace that gives consumers more money to spend. So that makes me feel much better about the consumer. And I think that could potentially drive some consumer stocks. And also, I'd be looking at industrial companies or technology companies that improve productivity, because with this worker shortage that we're seeing right now in many fields, any company that can help eke out more productivity is going to do exceptionally well. And we've certainly seen a huge run in the tech stocks this year, so a lot of that's already priced.
Yeah, I'd like you to expand on something that you said earlier, especially as we look to 2018 and beyond. You talked about demographics changes and winners and losers. Give us a little more on that. Maybe what sectors might be winners and losers?
Sure. Well, one of the ones I love to talk about is travel. There's a lot of interesting things going on in all sorts of travel companies, but there's two groups of folks demographically that are going to benefit this industry, and they're at the opposite ends. One is retirees, who typically, especially in the early years of their retirement, spend much more on travel, and right now we've got that happening with the baby boomers retiring. And on the other end, you've got the millennials, who enjoy not buying things so much, but instead enjoy experiences. And those people are also taking trips. And so you kind of put those two relatively big groups together, and it sets up for travel companies to do pretty well. So that's certainly one area I'd look at. Healthcare has not done so well over the last year because of all the uncertainty that's been on that field. But the demographics there also suggest that as the baby boomers retire and need more medical services, is that will be an area that will potentially do very well. And certainly that area hasn't participated fully in this year's rally.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour Economic Forecast Roundtable, live from the downtown headquarters of Plant Moran.
Have a question related to this special economic forecast 2018? Reach out on Twitter at WBBM News Radio or comment on the WBBM News Radio Facebook page. From Plant Moran's downtown Chicago office, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Let's get your ideas on this, both of you. Should American investors have something international in their portfolios? Is there something attractive there?
Well, I think diversity is always important. And so international offers another layer of diversity, you know, companies that are subject to another different economic cycle than what we have here in the United States. And so I think that's always important to consider, something that you want to try to incorporate if you can, recognizing that a lot of times international can mean developed markets and emerging markets. And that can introduce a lot more volatility. So recognize that there may be bigger swings, more swings in those values, and you need to think about that with a long-term perspective.
What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, I think international needs to be a part of what anybody does because the U.S. is an increasingly smaller part of the world economy. So I think the international exposure is a great concept. And we had a period where emerging markets from say, 2002, 2003 had a run, and then they had a rough period. And now they're on fire this year, and some of the valuations aren't as attractive as they once were. But again, you have to be a little careful. Even in emerging markets, they're not all the same. I mean, this month Brazil's had some more issues again, and that was a country that was on fire. Now it's had a few weeks with their politics there. China is always a big question mark. It seems like an economy that's been a little bit too dependent on stimulus and debt for my taste. But nevertheless, it's a big part of emerging markets, and it might react differently than Brazil would to something, and Russia is it yet in a whole nother camp. So you got to be very careful not to overgeneralize on international, but I think it's a great way to expose yourself to different growth rates, different tax policies, and I would definitely have some money internationally.
That's Bob Johnson, independent economist, formerly of Morningstar. Susan Schmidt is also joining us, senior portfolio manager at Westwood in Dallas. Susan, I want to ask you about the oil sector. One of our listeners sent us a question on Twitter, at WBBM News Radio, just looking for general thoughts on the sector. Good to get in, time to stay away. What do you think?
Oh, boy. Well, oil, that is the center of volatility. So very interesting. We are seeing oil prices right now at two-year highs, and that is largely because of the upset that we saw in Saudi Arabia over the weekend. And so it's not clear what's happening with the balance of power. Any sort of political shock to the region has an emotional transference right into the price of oil. And prior to, I think you mentioned 56 and change earlier when we started the show, prior to that price, oil had been stagnant, somewhere between 45 and 50 for much of the year. So energy, certainly there, when we say long term, it is potentially a decade. You have to think really long term with that. We have a terrific ability here in the United States with new technology to extract both oil and gas from our own reserves, making us less dependent on what's going on and what can be supplied by the rest of the world. But technology is still being developed. We're not totally ready for that. And the idea of our economy being independent of what happens to the price of oil, I don't think the market's ready to accept that yet. And so we still see a lot of swings because of oil prices in the stock market overall. You just need to be aware of it. I always say take an extra long perspective when you're dealing with oil. Be prepared because it's an exogenous shock that can hit you there. It doesn't have to be about something fundamental in your company. It can be about some sort of political unrest in the Middle East. And that's not uncommon. So be prepared.
Yeah, certainly not a short-term investment. Bob, your thoughts on oil in general, and specifically to what Susan said about the new technology. It seems easier than ever when there's a need for more oil for companies all around the world just to go and get more.
That's right. So much for the peak oil theories that were out there. A lot of what's out there now is that, in addition, you can add capacity on a more ad hoc basis. For a while, we were looking at situations like dependent on Brazil and offshore oil, which would potentially take 5 to 10 to even longer years to fully outfit. Now with some of the shale things, they can be opened up pretty darn quickly as prices change. So that may temper a little bit of the volatility in the U.S., but you can never get around, as Susan said, the short-term geopolitical events, which we still import a lot of oil. So we're not completely immune to that. We're not 100% energy independent here yet. So, but nevertheless, with fracking, we have the ability to turn on and off and adjust in shorter increments than we ever used to in the past. And I think that's going to tend to keep the oil in a pretty narrow range of say, $45 to $60 over the next few years.
We are live from the downtown offices of Plant Moran. We'll continue our discussion with Susan Schmidt and Bob Johnson after this.
We're taking your questions on today's special edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Tweet your comments at WBBM News Radio or write them on the WBBM News Radio Facebook page. Back to the downtown Chicago office of Plant Moran on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Our conversation with Susan Schmidt, senior portfolio manager at Westwood in Dallas, and Bob Johnson, independent economist, former director of economic analysis at Morningstar. Let's talk technology for a minute here. At a time when Amazon seems to be buying up the world, and then we've got the new Apple phone and Facebook and Netflix, should I have this in my portfolio?
Wow. Well, I think every millennial probably does because they're using some aspect of that every day. And that's what's so interesting about tech right now. And in fact, we're seeing some strength. There's been a lot of rotation throughout the year in and out of the tech stocks. And so we've seen a lot of strength in technology thus far this year. And it's actually come from all aspects of technology. So we've seen it in, Amazon, Netflix, Google, Apple, all exciting new technology companies going forward, introducing new
Intel,
products.
Intel, some of the older ones. Yeah.
But the older ones are also delivering. And those are the ones that are making semi-chips and the equipment to make semi-chips. And that's because it's becoming so prevalent in our lives and the need for them is so great. So it's interesting because we've seen a surge in both old tech and new tech in this era. And I think that's what makes it very interesting going forward. Technology is important and has moments of greatness, I don't think you ever want to be completely without it. You always want to have some exposure.
Yeah, I think tech's an incredibly interesting area, and I think there's some real opportunities in that field. And I mentioned the demographics and productivity certainly aiding technology across the board, and I continue to believe that. Semiconductors that Susan mentioned is interesting because that's a sector that's consolidating. And the problem with technology used to be that they'd beat each other's brains out and leave no profits even though they had great growth. Like the airlines, they seem to have consolidated a bit and aren't beating each other's brains out as much. So that certainly helped the sector, and we've seen more consolidation this week in the semiconductor
sector. Just remember,
sector.
Stephen Hawking says that artificial intelligence could end up killing the world. So we have to keep that in mind.
Then it doesn't matter what you own, right?
Exactly.
Susan, so when it comes to investing in some of these technology stocks, it seems like the challenge is, for some of them, it's the price. I'm thinking a company like Amazon, right?
Certainly. So for some of it, it's valuation. And that's when we talk new tech versus old tech. Old tech, we're talking about things like Intel, Chris, that you mentioned, where we're talking about, you know, sort of the old manufacturing equipment, the guys who are making the semi-chips. Amazon is developing a whole new way for people to shop. And I would argue Amazon, it's not so much about shopping. They're a distribution company. They are managing to touch every person in the United States in some way, shape, or form. And so that's new tech. We haven't seen how they're going to develop this and make it exceptionally profitable, but we're giving them a lot of credit that they're going to be able to, and they have been able to turn a profit with it. They keep evolving their model, and I think that's what's so interesting there, because everybody sees the potential behind that.
Bob, is some of this, when you're thinking about investing in tech, is some of it whether you want dividends or whether you want growth? And I'm thinking in terms of whether you invest in some of those older, more mature stocks versus some of these newer ones.
Well, certainly they'll all benefit some of the productivity trends, which is what I really like. And certainly you've got a more conservative way with something like a Microsoft or an Intel that's going to be slower growth, but have a potential for a higher short-term dividend. So certainly a more conservative investor can try to play it with some of those more stodgy older names. So I think that's certainly an angle that people might think about.
And as we're thinking about maybe the breakdown of portfolio right now, I'm interested in what both of you think, because you have technology, a little more risky. You have, I'm thinking, utilities, maybe less risk, especially when you're talking some of the old line stocks. In general, break down sectors for us. If I'm investing right now and I'm just beginning, how would you weight that? I'm not looking for super specific, but in general, how would you do that?
Right. Well, look, first of all, always go to where you feel you have an advantage. If you're buying individual companies, it's most important to know what you own and know the specifics around that. And then around that as well, when you back up a little bit, 20,000 foot view, balance out your sectors. Obviously, utilities are going to give you stability. They're going to give you a dividend. That's a very nice thing to have. They're not going to give you a lot of growth. It's a regulated utility, right? How many more people are going to be added to the Chicagoland area to use electricity? Not enough to make a difference. The next other side of that would be, what do you have in the portfolio that's really growthy? So do you want some of that growth tech, or do you want consumer discretionary? Do you want financials? And so I would say, it's never look at anything when you're building your portfolio in isolation. Look at the blend. Think about it like you're cooking. You have to get the mix just right.
Bob, as we wrap up here, just your last quick piece of advice to investors.
Yeah, I think you've got to keep your eye on demographics. I think everybody gets so tied up in watching what the Fed's doing, what's happening with tax policy, but you just don't want to be caught on the wrong end of any of the demographics. And I think that's the absolute key to looking at your portfolio these days. But even with tech, it's a big part of the indexes. So if you own the S&P or if you own some of the other major market baskets, you're going to already own a lot of tech. So I wouldn't necessarily race out and double down on that position. It's not like the early days when I started in tech, and when it was this tiny percentage and you owned tech and it made a huge difference. Now this is part of the indexes.
Well, we want to thank our guest today, Bob Johnson, independent economist, former director of economic analysis at Morningstar, and Susan Schmidt, senior portfolio manager at Westwood in Dallas. And, of course, we want to thank Plant Moran here at their downtown offices for having us do our program today.
Yeah, great to be with you and great to have all of you with us. WBBM News Time, 12:55. Well, let's get a wrap-up on all the market news at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
We are still headed higher with the Dow up 9 points, pushing to a new record, 23,566. NASDAQ positive by 15, S&P up 3. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index down 0.1%. Technology is providing a lot of the lift. Apple and chip supplier Qualcomm are two of the leaders, along with video game makers Activision Blizzard and Take-Two Interactive. Activision's latest Call of Duty game made more than $500 million in sales in its first 3 days on the market. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.